Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
A 3-2 Ottawa Senator win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Another unfortunate result for the many Maple Leaf fans that traveled there, but a lot closer, a lot more exciting game than two Saturdays ago. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And I know a lot of listeners listening to Raptor basketball before us, and now the Toronto Maple Leaf game against the Ottawa Senators. We'll break it down. If you watched it, listened to it, or didn't, we'll give you all over the next 2 hours what happened tonight. We'll hear from Luke Fox, who's in Ottawa. We'll hear from Mike Keenan as well. We'll play back all the goals, and we'll hear from any of the Leaf players in tonight's game. So we call it the walk to the subway, Sean. In Ottawa, it's a long drive, though. It's a long drive to get anywhere, isn't it, from the Ottawa arena?
Yeah, all the players are staying at the Brook Street Hotel. There's not much to do around there. We stayed one time in downtown. It took us about 2 hours to get to the main rink.
Oh, really?
So it's a bit of a hike, especially with traffic there.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, and Vic Palatin, one of our guys, he made the trek down, and that was not a fun trip for Toronto Maple Leaf fans. A lot more interesting game tonight, wasn't it? Certainly. I mean, from an entertainment point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I would take the pauses out of it. The team came to play in the third period. They had a slow start to something that's been a question mark all season long. But, I mean, they're coming down the stretch here. They need to get full 60 minutes. But the fact that they came back and made it close near the end there, I mean, there's some pauses. It's a hard loss to lose to a team like this. But, you know, they got to get it figured out before playoffs start here.
Yeah, I mentioned a 4-2 game, actually, the empty netter. I got to add that. They all count. So a 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs, Leafs Nation postgame. And, of course, Anthony Duclair getting a couple of goals. It's funny. You know different guys. A couple of weeks ago, John Tortorella said he doesn't get it. It doesn't fit. It doesn't whatever thing. So as much as the Ottawa Senators, it's a tough time when you're playing. And you went through that with the Leafs a couple of years ago when you're playing out the final few games. But it's also a chance for some guys to, you know, get in the coach and general manager's positive books.
Yeah, but the difference between when I was with the Leafs, where they had a first overall pick, and
yeah,
I don't think
the Ottawa
Senators will have that. I think that went to Colorado, right? But
yeah.
Duclair, I mean, he's been on a bunch of different teams, and I thought he was a really good player, especially early on in his career with New York Rangers. I'm surprised to see him bounce around as much as he has, because he is a very talented young player. And like I said, he's young. He's not an old player. I mean, he came to the league, I think, at 19 or 20, and he's already been on four teams. And I thought he was a good fit in Arizona. I thought he was a good fit in New York. And obviously Columbus, it wasn't too great, but he's been playing well here, and you look at all the accusations, all the new players they had that came in the trade deadline. I mean, they're tied for the same amount of points as all the guys that left, with Duchesne and Stone. I mean, they're all at 24 points or something, and they're tied. So, I mean, it's kind of funny seeing that.
Yeah, you mentioned the acquisitions they had around the trade deadline as well, mostly guys leaving, and this is going to present opportunities for the Ottawa Senators. But on the Toronto Maple Leafs side tonight, and, you know, it's a weird one, because you would have been in situations like that playing, but it's been a long time for Toronto Maple Leaf fans that they basically are sitting knowing what's going to happen. And as much as you talk about the end of the regular season games, you're already previewing what's going to go on, Leafs taking the Boston Bruins. So it's can't go up, can't go down. It's kind of an unusual scenario.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
It's really weird. I mean, you already know who you're playing. Like, I would guess they would rest some guys now. I mean, you're playing the team. You know who's you're playing. You're going to have you're going to be away. You're not going to have home ice advantage. It's different. It's a different I don't personally like how they set it up now, because I like when you see teams fighting to get in and you don't know who's going to play. And now it's like 2 months out and they're already talking about Boston Bruins. It's especially with Tampa having the season they've had. I mean, the writing was on the wall all along. So it's as a player, I think it would be kind of hard to look at the board every day and like know who you're playing and getting up for some of these games, especially against a team who is not going to be in the playoffs, who's a bottom feeder, and it's got to be tough as a player getting up for a game like this.
Well, the other part is there's two parts. So Steven Stamkos talked about it as well, just said, you know, basically one really good team's going to get eliminated in the first round in Boston or Toronto. Don Cherry also said it in Coach's Corner. The other part, Sean, is as we play out this string or whatever you want to call it, it would make the last weekend really interesting, because teams just can move around, and I think the uncertainty of who you're going to play would add a lot of intrigue to the last couple of days of the season.
For sure. I mean, it's as a player, you don't want to know who you're playing a month out or 2 months out, because then all your focus goes into that. The media goes into that. And everything you're reading is about the Boston Bruins. And you got to guess guys in that room are talking about the Boston Bruins, especially when you play them. I mean, that's just something you don't need on in the back of your mind. You want it to be kind of almost like a surprise, right? So you're not really planning for a team, and you can keep every game just focus on that one team. And you don't want to get ahead of yourself, especially this time of year, because that's when you can kind of collapse and fall apart. And you're playing some teams that are fighting for the playoff spots. You're playing against a team tonight who guys are fighting for their jobs for next season. So you want to have your focus on every game and not on just one team. And it's tough for the media. I mean, you're reading the paper and all that, and you just see one team. It's just going to, you're just going to focus on it.
The other thing is, again, as we talk about, it's Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It was a 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs, the second time in 2 weeks in Ottawa. The Ottawa Senators have come up with the W. How much is it simply goaltending tonight? The Leafs outshot the Sens by pretty solid margin, and that's I don't know how much I'm putting that on Garrett Sparks, but more so excellent goaltending by Craig Anderson.
Yeah, he played well. I mean, two goals that went similar spots. I mean, both beautiful shots. Matthews, I mean, such a quick release. But Sparks, I mean, two goals in his five hole. I thought both of them. The first one was a quick shot that fooled him. I don't think he thought he was going to see a shot that quick. Duclair with a one-timer from where he was. It was just a quick release in and out of the net like that. And then you look at the second one. That one I think he would like to have back, but it's tough. You're out shooting a team, and you got your backup in there. You got to play hard for him, and it's got to be frustrating at the end of the night losing to a team that you should be beating.
Now, I know this is your first year as an ex-player, kind of a fan watching it. So a night like tonight, the goals are by Austin Matthews and Connor Brown for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yet the Marner-Tavares-Hyman line.
It's beautiful.
They don't get a goal, but I'm saying now, will Mike Babcock be happy with what they did tonight or whatever? I'm watching. There were some incredible, incredible plays. And it seems like all 82 games, they do that to some extent, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah, I thought Marner played really well. I mean, you look at his hand eye. That's what separates a lot from the best players in the league. You look at some of the best defensemen, you try and chip a puck, get by them like a Brent Burns. He just bats everything down, and then he's keeping the play alive in the zone, or they're going back on a 3-on-2. It just changes the game. And you look at Marner for a forward. I mean, he's always batting pucks down. You see almost the tip that he put in. I mean, that's special. That's tough to do at this level. I mean, the puck's flying around. These are pro. These are the best players in the world, and he's what, 21, and he's making them look like they're kids. He's an unbelievable talent, and I mean, a guy like JT playing with him just compliments him so well. And then you have Hyman, who's going hard to the net and creating loose pucks for the two of them to do their thing. But the thing with JT is he never quits on a puck either. He competes very hard. He's a hard-working player, and he's always in the battle. He's never out. There's no quit in him. I have a lot of respect for that line, and they play really well together.
You know, you take a look as, again, it's a 4-2 win for Ottawa, and I'm curious, as the other part is about the fact the Leafs defensively have become one of the worst teams the last 3 weeks, like one of the worst defensive records. Now, Travis Dermott back tonight, so that's a positive. Let's face it, they missed Travis Dermott and Jake Gardner. But how much is this a concern heading into the playoffs, or is this just kind of a lot of teams, and particularly teams like the Leafs that don't have a ton of depth on D, that ends up being what you pay the price?
Well, I don't think you're going to win a Stanley Cup with this D core. I mean, or any team that's this, I mean, they don't have the depth. They get a few injuries and it folds. I mean, what are they going to do in the offseason here? Do they have the money to go after some big free agents on the back end? I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're going to see Jake Gardner re-sign here. I think his price tag is going to be a little too high. But to think you're going to win a Stanley Cup with amazing forwards and nothing on the D end, I mean, that just doesn't make sense. You need your best player to be your goaltender and come playoff time. Then you need your D core to be playing lights out, and the goals are going to come. They got a talented bunch, but if they can't keep it out of their net, I mean, they're in big trouble.
What was Jake like as a teammate your year in Toronto?
He was a really good teammate. I mean, got along with him really well. His now wife, she was really nice. She was great for in the wife's room, and that makes a big difference too. When you got a guy who's great in the room and his wife's really helps out, it's good for a new player like myself and my girlfriend, who now wife at the time, and it was awesome. So he made an effort to be friends with everyone, to know what's going on in everyone's life. He was a really good guy, stand-up guy for sure.
I was mentioning that, I mentioned it many times, and I know the -5 in Game 7 last year, that's one Leaf fans have remembered all the time, let's face it. But man, oh man, he's a skilled guy. I know there's the heartbreaking giveaways at time, but he is so effortless. I don't think people realize the extent of how great a skater he is.
Yeah, and he does give the puck away every now and then, but sometimes he makes that play and it goes, and that's a big goal for the team or a game winner. So he plays risky at times, but that's what you pay him to do, make those plays. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not going to always pay out, but he's a very good player. He's got good feet. He's got a good stick on him. He gets the shot through the lanes. I mean, he's a really good player, and I hope he comes back. But like I said before, I think his price tag might be a little too high.
Again, chatting with Sean Mathias, it's a 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. You saw a bit of a run for Zach Smith on Mitch Marner, some other physical parts of the game. I mean, Don Cherry just mentioned that's why they have Tom Wilson in Washington. That's why Ryan Reeves was so successful for the Vegas Golden Knights.
That's why they gave him a 2-year deal at 2.75.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you could play the game physical. Were you there when Matt Martin was there, or was that the year before?
I was just before him.
Okay, so they had that one game where Mike Babcock kind of said, Yeah, we're going to do something about that. They got running around that year you were playing, and the next year, and they added Matt Martin in the offseason. It didn't, you know, really work out, but certainly a quality guy that way. I don't know tonight a little bit about that. Like, I still think you can win on skill, to say the least. Andreas Johnsson was showing a little bit of grit that way, but there was a lot of little chippiness that you kind of said, yeah, you know, the Mitch Marners, when they get a hit like that, just like Ron Hainsey stuck up for John Tavares the other game, that you question whether the Leafs have enough of that or not.
Yeah, they're missing Martin. I never understood why they got rid of him. I mean, he was good in the room. Guys had a lot of respect for him. You could tell he meant a lot to guys like Marner and really helped out there on the leadership role. But you need a guy in your – maybe he doesn't play every single night, but at this time of year where you know who you're playing, put him in just to protect guys. You're playing against a team right now who guys are fighting for their jobs. And some of those guys aren't 50-goal scorers on Ottawa. They're going to come out and they're just going to try and bang and crash and set a tone so the coach sees him with a big hit on a guy like Marner. If he's got a shot, he's going to take a run at him. And then you don't have a guy in your lineup like a Matt Martin who can go after. Like, who's going to fight Zach Smith on the Leafs right now? Nobody. Not one guy. You're going to say Kadri? He's not going to fight him. I mean, he's going to get pumped. That's just a fact. Every player in the league would say the same thing. But Matt Martin's in the lineup. I mean, he probably does fight Zach Smith tonight. And I like Matt Martin in that fight for sure.
He took on Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, he's a tough boy, man. Yeah. He's a big, strong player. So I don't understand why they got rid of him. Then you see like the talks about, well, we don't have depth and stuff and all that going on. It's like, well, I mean, he had Matt Martin. He was a good team guy. So, hey, I don't know. I'm not a GM, so that's your department.
Well, my department. And, you know, the one thing that was interesting, when Matt Martin, all of a sudden when he started playing with the Leafs, like, the team just got real fast. He was on a fast fourth line. Like, you know, he fits in so well with Casey Cizikas and Cal Clutterbuck for whatever reason, and he's done it again on the island. But they got Kasperi Kapanen and other guys, and it was weird. I don't know, you know, I loved his physicality and his willingness that way, but it didn't work anywhere close to that line they have with the New York Islanders. So I think that's what happened at the end of the day with Matt Martin. But then...
You got Tyler Ennis playing 5 minutes tonight. You don't think Matt Martin can play 5 minutes tonight and be effective?
Well, no, it's a good point. I mean, what is your fourth line supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be many different components. And, you know, you just see a night like tonight, even though I agree you can win based on talent, there still has to be an element. I mean, not again, this whole debate about the code and what's the code or not the code, but just somebody that you can put out just to make things accountable.
Yeah, he cares about his teammates. He's going to go out. He might not fight, but he's going to get in their face of the opposition. He's going to say things. He's going to be yapping between benches just to let them know he's there. And if you do anything dumb, he's there. Like, everyone talks about the code. Well, there's things that go before it, right? In warm-ups, you see them talking. And like I said, in between the benches, there's a lot of things said there, things I can't repeat on here. But like I said, Zach Smith probably doesn't take – I mean, Zach Smith probably does take that run at Marner there and other guys. But, yeah, Matt Martin, when he's going by the bench back for a rest, I mean, Matt Martin's probably squirting a water bottle at him, saying some things like, next shift, I'm going to get you. And like I said, you got guys playing 5 minutes tonight. You don't think Matt Martin can be effective in those 4 or 5 minute role. And you look at Babs, he plays guys typically. He wants a big body in front who forechecks hard. That's Matt Martin.
You ever make a hit, and you knew that someone was going to come for you?
Oh, I nailed a guy once in New Jersey. I had actually talked to Shanahan. I had a review on that one when he was still doing all the safety stuff. But yeah, I knew I had to fight that night. And I had Jansen trying to square up with me, and my coach was Kevin Dineen at the time, and he was standing on the bench going, Sean, No. And I'm like, that's great. Like, that's what you want before a fight. Your coach screaming at you, don't fight that guy. Because you're like, now I'm going to get pumped. Now you're in my head. So I ended up fighting Pelly was the guy's name. But I didn't do too well in that one either. But it probably would have been a lot uglier with Cam Jansen.
Was it Devontae Smith Pelly or was it?
No, I can't remember his first name.
The soccer player, Pelly?
Yeah, that was him.
Anyway, so it was better off than Cam Jansen. I could see that as far as that goes. Looking tonight, Travis Dermott -3. And again, plus minus a bit of unfair stat. I think he was out there when the empty net goal was scored as well. Marinson's a -2. But just nice to have him back. I mean, Travis Dermott, would you have played with him or was he still in junior?
I think he was still in junior.
And you've been watching a lot this year, the Toronto Maple Leafs. What'd you think of them?
I'm a big fan of him. I liked him last year when he came up. I think he's really smooth. He's just like, he skates very well. He handles the puck well. He rolls off of hits very nicely. He's just, I think he's going to be a really good player. He kind of reminds me of like a Seabrook type. Like, I don't think he's going to be maybe the production out of him for points, but I like him a lot. I think he's really good in that 3-hole, 4-hole maybe. And I think he's a really good player. I think he just, his confidence at that age, some guys, they come right out of junior and they're full of confidence and they're playing at a different level. But I think with him, it's just going to come over time.
5 games in 8 nights for the Maple Leafs to finish the season. That's another thing. When you are home and cooled out as far as the playoffs go, you always have to be careful you're not home and cooled out or feel that way. But that's just kind of a grind at the last part of the season when you're really looking ahead to the playoffs.
Yeah, and you're practicing only like maybe 15 minutes a practice, a lot of days off, a lot of optional skates. It's tough. I mean, that falls on coaching. You got to keep guys sharp because if you take a day or two and if you take 3 days off, I mean, your legs are gone. A day off, I mean, you feel different the next day and you're trying to, now at this time of the year, you'll have a day off, play the next day. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles it, handles the team there, if he gives guys some games off or not. Because, I mean, you lose your timing really quick at this level. It's hard to explain, but as a player, I mean, you go to like an all-star break, that's only 3 days back in the day. Now it was a little bit longer this year, but you come back from a 3-day layoff and you really feel it. You feel tightness in your groins, it's your lower back. It's just crazy how quick it goes.
Do you think the Boston Bruins are in the Toronto Maple Leafs' head?
I think so, yeah. I think they are a little bit because you look at Marchand saying what he did about contracts and stuff. I mean, they're playing the game. I mean, there's mind games out there. They're a team that with a lot of older players that have been there before and won cups. And, they're playing some mind games for sure.
Well, certainly in the fans' heads, that's for sure.
Oh, Marchand's got some real estate in a lot of fans' heads for sure.
I love that the players' poll, they had a lot of interesting things, like the players still rank Carey Price the number one goaltender and all that. And then they had Marchand as the best chirper and the worst chirper. That's like Don Cherry. You love Don Cherry or you don't like Don Cherry, but it means you watch Don Cherry. And same with Brad Marchand. It means Brad Marchand, you watch him.
Oh, he's effective. I mean, when he's winning both those polls, I think it's safe to say he's the best chirper. It's probably, what was it, like 30% of the guys said he was the worst. They're probably the guys who got it the worst from him. But, I mean, he was a competitor. I mean, he is a competitor. He plays chippy. I had a friend that Matt Bolesky was clipped by him in under-18 camps. Like, he ran his knee into the boards and hurt him for a while, and then they were teammates. And I know Matty, he said for a long time how much he wanted to get him back and never had the chance, and then they become teammates, and he spoke about how good his character is and how he's a great teammate and stuff. But that's just what he is. He is a rat. You hate him when you play against him, but you love him when you play with him.
Well, won't love the game tonight. Better effort than 2 weeks ago against Ottawa. When we come back, we'll hear from Luke Fox. We'll play back all the goals. We'll hear what head coach Mike Babcock has to say as well. A 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. And, of course, we will hear from Luke Fox. He is in Ottawa. Also hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, John Tavares, many of the other principals involved in tonight's game. But we sat there watching the game. Sean, are you ready to revisit the goals, courtesy of Joe Bowen and company?
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Let's go. And in the first period of play, there's no goals. The Maple Leafs dominate, outshoot the Ottawa Senators 18-7. I mean, that's kind of a – that was the upside of thought, because Mike Babcock always talks, Sean, about starting on time. And even though they didn't score, they certainly did that in period number one.
Talks about that and real good men.
Well, so some real good men started on time, but it was a real good man from the opposing team in the second period that breaks the ice.
Up on the right wing side, it comes to center. The flex to the lead blue line. And Matthews gets there first, tried to get it ahead for Janssen. That doesn't work. Brought back in by Lindberg. A shot! And that is a goal in behind Sparks.
There we go. Joe Bowen with the call. He's a little surprised, like a lot of people are. Duclair, his 17th from Lindberg and Paljärvi at the 5:24 mark.
Yep. Sparks surprised with a quick release there by Duclair and a quick one five-hole.
That was the one as well that he, I guess, in general about rebounds and handling the puck, or maybe that's more the next goal about Paljärvi, but that was, you know, the thing about Garrett Sparks and rebounds.
Yeah, I don't think he thought he was going to shoot that right away. I mean, he was a little bit further out and forward shooting a one-timer like that you don't see too often.
So Anthony Duclair, one of the reclamation projects the Ottawa Senators are hoping for, he gives them a 1-0 lead. And even though the Leafs are dominating the game as far as shots on goal go, it's not the Leafs that tie it up. It's Ottawa that strikes about 9 minutes later.
Down into the corner, it goes for Paljärvi. Centering pass, knocked away by Sparks. It comes right in front of the net. They score! Magnus Paljärvi perseveres, and the Senators lead 2-0.
There we go. Joe Bowen with the call. Magnus Paljärvi, his 11th from Duclair at the 14:43 mark.
That was a softie. I mean, they go five hole back to back like that. I think the curlers are behind there sweeping the puck through the back there to the back of the net. So I think that's one Sparks would like to have back.
And we'll talk about Garrett Sparks, come back about that, because the very pro-Toronto crowd there started to get on him. I think it was around then. Then he came up with the big save, right? Probably his best save a couple minutes after that.
Yeah, he started feeling it a little bit there. It's about time.
Well, the end of the second period, he's feeling it. The Maple Leafs are down 2-0. Ottawa leads 2-0 after two periods of play. The Maple Leafs outshot the Ottawa Senators 12-9 in the second period. And then we get to period number three, and cue the comeback. It's on the power play.
Riley gets it ahead, and Marner starts out of the Toronto end. Marner hits the blue line, sifts to the right wing side, got away from Onechuk, a pass in front for Matthews, scores! Austin Matthews gets the blue and white crowd on its feet as the Leafs score here on the power play to cut the margin to 2-1.
Boy, you hear the crowd there, his 37th of the year from Marner, who picks up his 66th assist. Wow. On the power play, 5:02.
Those toe curves, I mean, that curl and drag by Matthews is lethal. It's ridiculous to watch. It's so smooth, and, man, it never gets old.
In a year of unbelievable goals and shots by Austin Matthews, this one would be right up there.
And to think he got hurt as many times as he did this year and still be close to 40 goals and be scoring like that, he's talent. He's beautiful to watch.
Now, did your shot change over the years? Like, I mean, he's obviously worked at it, that it takes off like a rocket ship or like a Scud missile, and it finds that spot.
Well, I tried that toe curve, and now I'm doing this. So it took 1 year, 27 games, and now I'm talking on
that. Well,
it's
the point you tried. Yeah. It's the point you tried. Well, it's cue the comeback. Well, we're talking 27 seconds later. Let the comeback continue.
Now brought out by Ottawa, up on the right side for Tierney. Tierney works back into the slot, broken up, the Leafs counterattack, and they've got a 2-on-1. Here's a chance in across the line for Brown, and shot scores! 2-2!
That is the greatest sound if you're shooting and you know it goes in, or if you're the goaltender and it stays out. In Connor Brown's case, his 8th of the year from Hainsey, and you got a little pumped about that.
Oh, that was straight cheese. That was cheddar. Wow, that was a nice goal. He's been playing a lot better lately, so I know Brownie, he's a good guy, and I was happy to see him pop one in like that.
Well, okay, then when you've got the momentum and you got it going,
you try and keep the momentum.
Exactly. I think that's the point. And we're talking a buck 11 later. Cue the comeback of comebacks.
Back into the far corner for Kapanen. Puts the brakes on. Grabbed off by Patrick Marleau, but he fails to get it back to the blue line. And four Ottawa Senators come to the Leaf line. Dropping for CeCe, a shot scores!
Well, a key there, Joe Bowen, talking about four Ottawa Senators at the Leaf line. Cody Ceci's obviously the defenseman who's coming up on that, his 7th from Tkachuk and White.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I mean, you would like a big save at that moment, but it was a beautiful shot. And we've talked about this, like how many times are you going to let guys walk in like that and know where's the back checkers, four guys coming, one's a defenseman leading the rush, making a play, and ultimately scoring the goal. And I mean, where's the back checkers? Guys aren't coming back hard enough looking for their cookies. I mean, it's that time of year we need to bear down.
Yeah, and the first two goals, you could maybe take issue with how Garrett Sparks played them. But
not that one, though. That was fired too.
Yeah, and as you said, everyone, and including me, you're quick to get down on Martin Marincin. One is, but
I get text messages about this now.
But I don't know what. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know what else he could do on that. You look at it that play as well. Maybe they backed in a bit, but really it was a 4-on-2.
I mean, he's trying to block a shot. He went to the wrong leg. I mean, it could have easily hit him. It didn't. It was a great shot. It's tough. I mean, you got Dermott on there for -3 tonight, coming back for his first game back, and he's playing with him, and it's tough. It's frustrating.
Well, we'll cue the empty netter as well. The Leafs putting on pressure, and then we'll chat about Andreas Janssen in a second. He's off, so Ottawa, not only is the net empty, Ottawa's on the power play.
Here's Marner with it on the far boards. Back to the blue line to Hainsey. Hainsey to Riley. Riley with it. Goaltender out, but 5-on-5 hockey here. Down into the corner for Tavares. Comes out of the corner. Back it goes to Marner. Tavares is tripped and no call. Wow! Down in an empty net. Was going to salt it away. Congratulations.
Yeah, Joe Bowen playing a officiating supervisor on that play. But it is an empty netter by Duclair from Tkachuk and White. And it ends 4-2. Shots on goal. Again, the Leafs outshoot Ottawa all three periods, 14-6. They outshoot them 44-22. So a 2-1 margin the Toronto Maple Leafs have, but it's a 4-2 final for the Leafs. I'm just trying to check at Andreas Janssen's stats because, as we talked about earlier, you know, missing a Matt Martin or somebody like that in the lineup. I give Janssen credit. He got 4 minutes in penalties. He was -1. How many hits? He had 3 hits. For him, but it's not part of his character, but he seemed to be a guy that was trying to get things going.
Yeah, you got Kadri with 6 hits there, Hainsey with 4-5, and then you have him with 3. So, I mean, they're your most physical players right now, and I don't think on most teams they would be, but he was playing hard. He was sticking up for his teammates. He was going hard at guys. He's playing with some life right now. He wants it. I like seeing that.
Okay, so here's a stat that surprises me. So the Leafs outshoot the Ottawa Senators 44-22. Austin Matthews has 7 shots on goal. That does not surprise me. William Nylander has 7 shots on goal.
Oh, he's playing tonight?
Yeah. Well, that's the quietest 7 shots on goal I can remember.
I think he just skated over the blue line and just whiffed one at the net. So those counts as shots too.
What did you think of his play?
Quiet. I mean, he's just not. There's no life. You see it in his face again. We spoke about this early on when he came back. I mean, it looked like he didn't have any life in his face. He didn't look interested. And then he started scoring. It looked like he was back in the huddle, like being pumped up. But, I mean, if you're scoring or not, I mean, if your team's doing well, get fired up. I mean, it's that time of the season where you're going in the playoffs. You're playing for a very passionate fan base that loves this team so much. And I mean, you're playing for an original six team. You're going to play another original six team. Like, it's time to get fired up. Like, go to net hard. Play hard. And at this time of year, I'm not surprised to see him not doing well, to be honest with you, because he doesn't score those ugly goals. You look at a guy like Matthews. He gets to the front of net. He scores in those tough areas. He plays. And this time of year, it's not those curl and drag, toe drags around guys, dangling guys one-on-one and scoring like you do in the first 20 games. But this time of the year, I mean, he's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, and to be clear, you're a teammate of his. You really like him. We've talked about that before. And I just said from observing him the last couple of years, that great posture he had and puck possession, we're coming to the end of the regular season, just not seeing it.
Yeah, get to the dirty areas. That's why Matthews, he's always going to be a 40-50 goal guy. I mean, he's always going to score goals because he gets to those areas and he plays hard, gets the rebounds, he takes punishment. He might not be the most physical player dishing out the hits, but he gets those areas, he plants his feet, and he plays hard. Nylander circles around, he wants the easy game. The easy game isn't going to happen this time of year. When you play in playoffs, I mean, it's going to get a lot tougher, it's going to get a lot more physical. And is he going to go to the net with a guy like Chara waiting there to cross-check you? I mean, he's not doing it against the Ottawa Senators.
Well, it's a 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Luke Fox, in Ottawa. Of course, Luke with Sportsnet.ca joining us on Leafs Nation postgame. How are you, Luke?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, good, good. And, you know, we call it the walk to the subway that we kick around the game tonight. So if you were walking to the subway, well, there's really no subway out there in Ottawa with us. What are you making of a much better effort than 2 weeks ago? But, man, two losses in Ottawa in 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's no way that should happen against one of the worst teams in the league with a very depleted roster and all the talent that the Leafs have on theirs. And, you know, we're down to, this was the fifth last game of the season. They should be ramping up for a very serious round one matchup against Boston. You know, the effort was far and away superior to 2 weeks ago. And Garrett Sparks was pretty somber, actually. We just spoke with him. And he basically said, you know, the way we played, we deserved to win. And he owned the loss. He said that, you know, those first two shots, they went five hole. Goalies hate getting beat that way. He owned those. And he said, you know, then we got back in the game. And the very next shift, you know, the Sens scored again. Cody Ceci, you know, letting in a shot from a defenseman when your team has rallied to get back in it. So he kind of owned the loss. And, you know, bottom line, it was kind of goaltending was the story. Craig Anderson was absolutely fabulous. That stop on Marner on the rush was fantastic, and he was great in the first period. The Leafs absolutely dominated the run of play. They just didn't have the finish, and they didn't have the goaltending when they needed it.
We were wondering where Nylander was tonight. Is there any thought of any? Has anyone found him yet?
There's been a few nights like that, right? He's invited a lot of pressure on himself by putting his signature on a contract that pays him $6.9 a year. And you want to see results. And you look at the comparables that they wanted to use during that negotiation, Leon Draisaitl, David Pastrnak, those guys don't go absent for nights on end. So there's going to be heat on this guy. He's in a bit of a funk right now. And if he doesn't get it going in the first round of the playoffs, boy, he is going to be a target, I think, of Leafs Nation, because the expectations rose as soon as he got that giant raise.
Oh, I'll tell you something, Luke, and it's not like, you know, piling on with Nylander, and Sean played with him in that. It's just that he got seven shots tonight, which stuns me because I don't think he got a great scoring chance. I could be wrong. But it's like, here we are almost the end of the regular season, and there's not been a single game we've been talking about William Nylander being the difference maker about something. And we'll talk about that he's playing better and all that. Well, that's what you talk about your kid playing hockey. You know, it really, really couldn't have gone, played out much worse than it has so far. The saving grace is the Leafs, by and large, have had a successful season.
Well, absolutely they have. And the disparity between the Tavares-Marner-Hyman line, where everyone's having a career season, and the consistency is there, and the quality scoring chances arrive on a nightly basis, and that second line, where Matthews and Nylander, you know, they used to have such great chemistry, and Nylander's not holding up his end of the bargain right now. And something's just has to change. It put a lot of pressure on that top line, and there needs to be more nights where Nylander is the hero or Kadri's the hero. Kapanen, you know, he's been quiet a little bit of late, and mind you, he got injured, but they need big nights from other guys. Exactly what you said. We need a couple nights where we're talking about Nylander all night because of he had two or three points and got the winner or something like that. Ooh. And then part of that stems from him needing to go to the inside a little bit more. You know, he does some really pretty work that looks good on the outside, but he needs to get into that home plate area a little bit more and pull the trigger there.
Luke, talking about the change and stuff, there's been talk about resting guys down the stretch here because you know you're going to be playing Boston now. But with the fourth line only playing like 5-6 minutes and a guy like Connor Brown, who's been playing a lot better lately, a big goal tonight, I mean, do you think that's a bit of a concern heading into playoffs and you're only playing your fourth line? Because you look at the teams that always win the cup, I mean, they've got four solid lines and they roll. Maybe they don't play them that much, but they're still playing about 10 minutes a night and playing big roles. Maybe it's penalty kill or a guy stepping in on the power play, but they need some contributions out of them. And you're having it out of Connor Brown, but still only 5-6 minutes and 4 minutes here for the GOAT.
Yeah, well, I actually love Connor Brown's game tonight, but I think one of the reasons why we're not seeing more balanced time distribution, especially down that fourth line, is during the last I don't know, month or 3 weeks, the Leafs have been playing from behind. They very often give up the first goal, and they're very often trailing late in the game. So when in those type of situations, Babcock doesn't want to roll four lines because he doesn't trust that fourth line to score. So when you're starting from behind all the time, that's why the front end of the lineup is probably seeing more ice time. I'm really curious in terms of time management, more how they handle the defense and see if they try and lay off Ron Hainsey a bit here, just because he's played a long season. He's on pace for 82 games, and he hasn't done that in a few years. He basically kills all the penalties, and you know he's the guy that Babcock's going to lean on like crazy in that Boston series, just because he doesn't have that trust in defensive situations farther down the lineup. So I'm interested, with four games left, if they try to scale back his minutes. We know Callie Rosen's probably going to get worked into the lineup Monday on Long Island. Jake Gardner is hopeful, for as early as Thursday versus Tampa. And Babcock even suggested they might dress seven defensemen. So I think how they distribute the minutes on the blue line will be interesting as well.
Yeah, one last thing. Gordon and I were wondering, how many Leaf jerseys do you see in the stands tonight? It looked like it was predominantly, mainly Leaf fans.
Oh, my goodness. It's like 90%. And then I just walked out of the dressing room area here, and it's swarming with Leaf fans. I saw Patrick Marleau posing for photos with guys, Travis Dermott chatting up some fans, Connor Brown. They're everywhere. You can't avoid them. And when they tied the game up, that was the loudest the crowd got all night, was when the Leafs jumped back in it. And it was funny, before the game, after the morning skate, Craig Anderson was saying, they had to take the crowd out of it. This is a home crowd. And I said, oh, is that something you guys joke about in the room? And he's like, no. I think it's a bit of a sore point that, they're getting rooted for so hardly against in their own building. But good on them for, the Leafs come in and this high-flying, exciting team, and they bring with them all their fans, and the fans are able to shut them down twice. So, I know there isn't much to be happy about in this neck of the woods, but good on them for these two wins against their provincial rival, for sure.
Yeah, and before I let you go, just and again, sportsnet.ca, Luke Fox, one up there now, Maple Leafs running out of time to find best version of themselves. I think that's a great headline for your article, what they're trying to do. But just saying to Sean, as I said to Sean, you're new at being a fan, but as a fan now, I'm watching that line, Tavares, Marner, and company, and I'm going, okay, I know they lost. I know they didn't score a goal. But, man, I would pay money to watch these guys. They do something, they bring it pretty well all 82 games. I haven't seen a line quite like that on the Toronto Maple Leafs for a long, long time.
No, their consistency is off the charts. It's really remarkable. And it's, every day in practice, every game, they're creating chances. They usually get the top assignments defensively. I would expect that that's the line that has to go head-to-head against Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak here in about, 12 days' time or whatever it is. And Marner, man, he's such a treat to watch. The things he creates are just phenomenal. And the fact that he's added penalty killing to his repertoire and is a threat in that area of the ice as well, it's really been something to watch. Career years for all three of them. And I was actually doing a little item on dangerous duos, and the only two guys in the whole league who have generated more goals by assisting off each other's goals is Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. They're the only duo ahead of Marner and Tavares. That just shows you the level these guys are operating at.
Wow, and Draisaitl's making Nylander money, isn't he? No, not quite. Okay, yeah. Anyway, like we said, excellent articles on sportsnet.ca. Always great when you join us on the radio as well. You're the busiest guy going, Luke. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Luke.
Hey, all right, have a great night, guys. Thanks for having me.
Luke Fox, sportsnet.ca, joining Gord Stelic, Sean Mathias on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. And, okay, one assignment for you, and it won't be too hard to do, I don't think. The Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. Some games there's, well, no, not this year, not so bad this year, but I'm curious who Sean Mathias thinks is the worthy of the Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf.
I'm going with the fans tonight for driving down and taking their time to go 5 hours to Ottawa, and we know where the rink is. Not much to do after that game, so probably driving back. So I'm going to give it to all the fans that went all the way down there to see that performance.
I got to love it. I got to love it, Sean, your appreciation. Vic Paladin, our buddy, he made it 2 weeks ago, and unfortunately didn't see much, but you're right. They are loyal that way. And the comedian Jerry D, he tweeted about so many Leaf fans, which he said is probably makes sense because he said the Ottawa Arena is about halfway between Toronto and Ottawa. So that part about how far it is out. So the Toronto Maple Leaf fans are Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf of the game. Well, John Tavares, we just talked about him. And tonight, 20 minutes, 33 seconds of ice time. Three shots on net. Was even, didn't get any points. But again, man, just kept going and going and going. And let's hear JT, John Tavares, postgame.
The coach was saying today that what he wants to do is the last week of the season to sort of compartmentalize, like a theme for a day to build on something. How do you see the rest of the season playing out in terms of what you'd like to accomplish as a team and individually?
Well, I mean, you just try to use the time and each game to continue to get better and try to get the results you want. Honestly, I don't really try to, I know personally, try to view it any differently. You know, it's kind of one day after another, and, you know, it's kind of cliche, but it's just where you just try to keep your mindset, kind of just stay in the moment and just try to work on things we need to work on, challenge yourself to be consistent and play at a high level and be counted on when you're out there.
How different do you think the next game on Long Island is going to be for you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll be probably somewhat similar. It is what it is. Just going to go out there and try to play well and help the Maple Leafs.
Is it nice that you got it the first one out of the way?
Well, I mean, it was going to happen at some point, and obviously going back again, it was going to happen again. So it's just part of it. So just try to go back and hopefully we can play better than we have. I think obviously they've played us well, but I don't think we've had our best yet either against them. So hopefully get a good day to kind of regroup and respond and get back at it.
Do you think it'll be a good primer for the fact that you may open the playoff series in Boston in terms of playing in front of a somewhat hostile crowd, that kind of thing?
Well, I think pretty much everyone in our locker room is obviously experienced playing in a tough environment, playing on the road in the playoffs. So. We'll just keep going. It's another game on our schedule, and obviously we want to get the result that we need. And each and every day is an opportunity to get better and keep pushing forward and obviously work towards that opportunity.
Yeah, John Tavares. What was it like playing against John Tavares, Sean Mathias?
Frustrating. He never quits on the puck. I skated with him in the summers for a few years there at BTNL in Oakville, and, man, I love going against him because he works so hard, but it is tough. I mean, he's so talented, but his work ethic really stood out to me.
Something we've come to appreciate with the Toronto Maple Leafs. One question was about, with this end of the season, like it's 5 games in 8 nights. And so you got the Carolina Hurricanes Tuesday that are fighting in the playoffs. By the way, all 3 teams won tonight, today and tonight. Columbus, Carolina, Montreal all won their games, unbelievably. Then you'll play Montreal, Leafs will next Saturday. But back on Long Island Monday, second visit there. And I don't think it's hey, the fans will be relentless. Don't get me wrong.
But not as bad as last time, though.
Yeah, and I don't really think it matters so much anymore. I think it's kind of done.
Yeah, you're
think.
Over it. You see it once, it's like, now it's done, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, like, that's got to suck, though, like being a player. Like, that's when you're like a fourth-line guy like myself, and you're like, go back to one of your old teams. Like, no one's going to say anything. There's no video on the board, nothing like that. But, like, that's just brutal. Like, I couldn't imagine being JT going there. I'd be crying on the bench or something and just calling my agent being like, I'm done. So I kudos to him for, like, being such a professional. I mean, it speaks volumes to the pro he is.
Yeah, well, we're done for this segment, of course. We are not done covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's games Monday against the Islanders. We'll talk about this the next game. John Tavares back Tuesday, Carolina. Thursday in Tampa Bay, Saturday against the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame for all of those. 4-2, the Ottawa Senators defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. A 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll hear from Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock momentarily. We'll hear hockey headlines from our friends at Hockey Night in Canada. Take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. A couple things to throw your way. One, we were chatting with Luke Fox, and it's funny about he talked about the Toronto Maple Leaf fans taking over the Ottawa Senators building. And I like, if I remember correctly, the story you told when you first arrived to Vancouver and they were going back in your old haunt and what John Tortorella had to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I made a comment. It was probably my fourth or fifth game back and my first game back in Florida. And in this pep talk, he was going, oh, this is the quietest barn in the rink. There's no life in here. And I was sitting there going, man, I thought it was pretty loud all these years. And it got out there and I started like paying attention to him, looking around. And I'm like, wow, there is no life in this barn and there's nobody sitting in any of those seats. So it was, it sucks when your fans aren't behind you like that. But Ottawa's a lot like Florida, where it's like not very close to the city. It's kind of in suburbia and, you don't get a huge fan base out there.
So in Florida, what were the biggest, would Toronto be one of the visiting team fan bases? Like who?
By far.
So the original six teams generally or just Toronto?
Toronto was the biggest. All the Canadian teams had, like Montreal was pretty wild too, actually. But Toronto was definitely the biggest for having home support come down. I mean, it was like $16. You buy a ticket, like a plane ticket, what is it, like $150 back then or something? And then you get $16, you get your parking, you get a beer and a hot dog, and you get to sit and watch a game. So it was a steal.
$16
back in the day. It had a sweet deal because it got some people in the seats, but they were all wearing blue and white. So it wasn't great for us, but it's all about selling tickets, right?
So you could basically hire, like instead of hiring a babysitter, you could dump your kids there, like not too young, go for dinner, and then pick them up after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geez, $16. Wow.
That's a great date package right there.
Yeah, that test it out. $16. Is he or she worth 32, 64? Keep doubling it as it goes on. Okay, before we hear from Mike Babcock, Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock, Sean, our good friend Mark Savard, and we appreciate you being here in his stead. He had a little minor surgery on Thursday, so I'd like to say he's convalescing, but we also see he's tweeting that he was at his son's combine today, so I wish his son all the best. So Savvy's doing great. He's not impressed that Austin Matthews got only 18 minutes, 7 shots, 1 goal, bleep, 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 bleep,
he's fired
Babs.
Up.
So before we hear from Babs, the 18 minutes as far as looking at guys, as far as ice time went for players.
Well, we talked about the fourth line not playing, and then Luke was talking, well, they're always behind. I mean, this time of year, I mean, why would you tire out your first line with JT, Marner and Hyman? I mean, why are they playing so much down the stretch here in games that are kind of meaningless at this point? And then you have a guy like Matthews who's, I mean, you give him an opportunity, he's going to score, and all year it's been the question mark, who's going to play with him? You had Kapanen in there, then you have Nylander who's wasn't existent tonight. So, I mean, it's got to be frustrating if you're Austin Matthews, especially when he's the highest paid guy on your team and he's, what, fifth leading ice time guy on the just up front, not even counting your D.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, and around the league, it really goes down there. So it's an interesting ongoing saga that way. And again, man, this playoffs, this is going to be a lot of things coming together either really well or there's going to be a powder keg of a few things. And, you know, the team defense hopefully doesn't get to a backup goaltender with a goaltender being hurt.
More texts from Savvy.
The toughness element, the ice time element, all those other things. Well, winning cures all ills. They didn't win tonight. They lost 4-2 to the Ottawa Senators. Let's hear what Mike Babcock had to say after the loss.
How do you wrap it all up, Mike? 3 periods of play in a game, obviously, that your squad could have won.
Well, obviously did lots of things really well. Puck ended up on our net, and I thought we stuck with it pretty good. I thought we dug our way out, and in the end, though, we didn't win. And so, you know, I think there's lots of positives we can take from the game, but it's unfortunate we didn't get it done.
How did you evaluate Travis's first game back after a month?
Well, I thought he had a real good first period to move the puck, you know, looked like a good player. I didn't think he, down the stretch, was as good, just defensively in his own zone. But that's one of the reasons you get back early and you get playing so you can be up to speed.
Like your forecheck tonight generating as many shots as stick with and stuff like
well,
that?
Well, I thought we had lots of obviously looks. We had lots of opportunity. We did lots of good things. And in the end, we didn't finish around their net enough. I thought Anderson had a real good night. I mean, we had a great look in the 2-on-1 there. We hit some posts in that. But I thought with the opportunity we had, we needed to finish more, obviously, to win tonight.
What's your expectations going to the Long Island, how that crowd was last time with John?
Well, it should be fun. You know, look forward to the game. We got an off day tomorrow. We got back-to-back after that. We got to bounce back from this just because of the fact that we thought we did lots of good things as a team and they weren't rewarded, but just keep doing good things will happen.
Thanks,
Is there a sense you guys want to get this one for John, having lost to his former team twice?
We want to win every night. We're selfish, though. We want to win for one another, want to win for our fans, want to win for ourselves. So this will be no different. You do good things will happen. Get prepared, and let's work.
I counted 132 goods there. How many times did he say good there? It was insane.
Well, apparently 132
that was a real
times.
Good game. Yeah. We really, really good. Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
It'll be good when I'm done this and get on the get a good glass of wine or beer on the plane. It is like, okay, they lost when the Islanders came to town, and it was funny. There was a lot of, you know, it was a lot made about John Tortorella, but I thought that was as much Lou Lamoriello coming back and other things like that, and Matt Martin and Komarov to a small degree. And I thought the big game was in the island, and they lost that one as well. So do you think, I mean, like Babcock says, you're trying to win every game. Do you think Monday really matters to Tavares beyond being a regular game you want to win?
No. I mean, it's the second time going back. Every time you go back to play at your home barn, the first time you go, it's weird. It's really weird just being in the visiting locker room. Second time, it doesn't really matter. The fans are going to be all over him again, but the team's seen it. I'm more concerned about like how they reacted to the atmosphere last time, because that was as close to a playoff game as you could imagine, with the fans going nuts and stuff, and they seemed a little bit shell-shocked. So I kind of hope it's like that again, just so the team can experience another loud arena with guys, a very hostile crowd, and get that experience before the playoffs.
The other thing he just he emphasized good goaltending by the Ottawa Senators, yeah. Which it was, you know,
it was real good.
Yeah, like real good. Garrett Sparks.
Not as real good.
And you know what? Willie Nylander as well, of all things to add to his repertoire, he caught Sparks in practice. So the one time that Sparks really should have taken it and run with it, he couldn't, because they made the acquisition from Florida in Hutchinson to get some games that way. So he's just been snake bitten that way in a lot of ways. He never got that stretch to see what he can do. So much like you're going to go into game number 83, you know, dissatisfied with Nylander's play this year, you go into 83, and really the body of work of Garrett Sparks, whatever you want to say, he never really got a great run at it, games-wise.
No, I mean, but you need your number one guy. If Garrett Sparks is taken over in playoffs, I mean, there's a big concern right there. You need Anderson to be rested here. I was going to wonder if he's going to play any more games. I would think you're going to see Sparks maybe once or twice again this season, but I mean,
it have to be Monday, Tuesday. The back-to-back, he always plays him. And I think that this was kind of the throw-in he gave tonight. And I think Monday, Tuesday will be one of those games. And really, next Saturday, like in some ways, do you not think, does he owe it to the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday and the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday to play Freddie Anderson because they're battling for a playoff spot, or does that matter?
Well, Babcock just talked about Dermott, about getting your legs under you and playing, and how important that is. So does he think that way about goaltending as well? I'm not sure, because that's a very tough position. You play a lot. You have extra practices every single day. So I'm curious how he's going to use him here, because if he thinks the same way as he does for players, I mean, you're going to see Anderson a lot down the stretch here as well.
You know much about Callie Rosen?
Nope.
Yeah, so he's going to, well, we'll find out Monday. He's going to get a chance to play on Monday. So obviously they want to find out how their depth goes on that Leaf defense department. But Travis Dermott was back tonight, so that was a positive. We'll talk about the out-of-town games in a second, but on Saturdays, we don't talk to Chris Johnston directly because he's involved with Hockey Night in Canada, but we always play back the Tuesday intermission feature, Hockey Headlines, Ron McLean hosting. It's Chris Johnston, Elliot Freeman, Nick Kyprios. Here's what they had to say tonight.
Headlines presented by Huawei Smartphones. Chris Johnston joins Nick and Elliot. And Elliot, we're tracking, obviously, the games. Three-team race for the wild card spot. Montreal up 2-0. Jeff Petrie for his mom and dad. We also have the Blue Jackets have gone up 3-1 in their game. So that's a key in Carolina winning this afternoon. And here's another development going on with Victor Hedman.
Well, hopefully this is not the biggest story of the night, but it could potentially be. This is the last shift of the first period. Victor Hedman and Carl Hagelin's helmet gets Hedman in the chin. And Hedman has not played the entire second period. Now, he does have a concussion history. He missed a few games earlier this season with one. Hopefully, it's not serious, and he's perfectly fine, but just something to keep an eye on.
For sure. Nick, Ottawa.
Well, pretty quiet in terms of the search for a president of hockey operations. Now, word is that Eugene Melnyk has asked the league for help on this, Ron, and it's not uncommon for teams to ask for help, and the league makes some certain recommendations. Now, the word is also that the league has assigned a current NHL executive to help gauge interest out there for this job, and one of those names that we hear that was contacted was Trevor Linden, who held that title, of course, with the Vancouver Canucks. Now, there's not going to be a shortage of people that want this job. That lineup is around the block. But where it gets interesting is if the type of person that they're able to attract is the experience, the credibility. He's going to want a certain amount of security, including money, term, and power to make decisions. I think, Chris, that's when that list gets awfully short.
Well, and it's what's interesting to me, Nick, is that, okay, so you have Linden doesn't want the job. We heard Dean Lombardi's name early. Apparently, he doesn't want the job. There's not that many people that we might describe as highly qualified, be it former general managers, former presidents of hockey operations, that are being linked to this job. And I do think that that speaks to some of the uncertainty you're talking about, Nick, in terms of what exactly the Senators are looking for here. And, you know, you're right. They're going to find someone eventually. But it's been awfully quiet, given that they're a couple weeks into this search.
I also think Edmonton's search will start in a couple weeks, and if not sooner, and they're going to have 10 to 12 interviews I think they're going to do on theirs. Okay, Vancouver, just a couple of things. We have the Canucks tonight. First of all, Luke Shen, he's had an impact since he was traded from Anaheim earlier this year. Sounds like there's some discussion on a one-year extension for him, the possibility of it occurring. Also, they had Quinn Hughes in the lineup this week. He was very impressive in his first game. One of his teammates, Will Lockwood, was a Canuck draft pick, 64th overall in 2016. He's informed them he's going back to Michigan for his senior season. And finally, Nick, as some of the coaching questions begin to come around the league, Alain Vigneault this week was named head coach of Team Canada for the World Championship. I think you're going to start to see his name come up. For example, I think if Florida makes a change, he could be a guy who's in the mix there.
Yeah, and growing speculation that Roberto Luongo's health may cost him playing in the National Hockey League in the future here. Now, the good news, I guess, when it comes to the contract is if that's the case, then he'll go to training camp, fail his physical, and that will force him to go on a long-term IR. He gets the remainder of his 3 years contract, and there's no recapture penalties to the Florida Panthers and, more importantly, to the Vancouver Canucks. Staying on board with the Florida Panthers, there sure is a buzz around them for a team that's not making the playoffs, including it coincides, I think, the Luongo news is Bobrovsky, that there's talk that they may take a real healthy run at him, and certainly they're going to need him if Luongo does shut it down.
Feels like they wasted the year, doesn't it, a little bit? The Florida Panthers with all that talent, and that would be the key. The goaltending was inconsistent. Same with Detroit. When you see Athanasio and Larkin into the 30s, it's hard to believe they're in the race for first pick in the lottery, but what will they do with Jeff?
Well, it seemed that there'll be some continuity behind the Detroit Red Wings bench in the form of a two-year contract extension for head coach Jeff Blashill, reported this afternoon first by Helene St. James of the Detroit Free Press. And what's interesting here is you have that continuity behind the bench, but as we move towards the offseason, I still think that there's some question about what will happen in the front office. Ken Holland, the longtime general manager, does have a year beyond this one on his contract, but there's been speculation there could be a change there. So we'll have to see where that goes, but Jeff Blashill will be back for the foreseeable future.
Staying on the coaching front, we heard earlier from Tampa Bay the announcement of Cooper's contract extension because they didn't want it to be a distraction. That's not necessarily the case with the Blues and Craig Berube. They met earlier and decided that they will not talk contract at all until the end of the season. They don't think it's a distraction at all. Basically, guys, it's Berube's job if he wants it. The only thing is, if they keep winning, maybe the price of poker goes up.
And as we get closer to the playoffs,
speaking of poker, Vegas,
more people getting healthy and in the form for the Vegas Golden Knights. Marc-Andre Fleury missed his seventh game last night, but there is hope that he'll be back on the ice with the team soon, get to play a game before the playoffs arrive. And of course, that's huge news for them, given what he did for them all year long.
There we go. Ron McLean, Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson, Nick Kiprios, hockey headlines tonight. During the second intermission, Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 4-2 win for the Ottawa Senators over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, just chatting about that. Victor Hedman didn't return to the game. And obviously, Sean, you know, you can't control it totally, but you talk about if there's any significant injuries, boy, that would be a huge injury.
That one would hurt, definitely. I mean, he's a Norris winner. He's so special to that team. He's the backbone, I think. And I don't think it's going to be serious. I hope not. Knock on wood. But at this time of year, with the lead they have, why risk it?
Yeah, did you see the hit? It was kind of like a football kind of hit.
Yeah, but he's had head issues before. So, I mean, like, why even put him in the lineup? Unless you're Babcock, because then he says you need your legs under you. And he's a real good man, so, yeah.
Well, speaking of good men, we'll talk about the good men in the out-of-town scoreboard. Victor Hedman's team lost 6-3 to the Washington Capitals. Boy, Washington-Tampa Bay, there was some bite in that. If these two teams are going to battle again in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they certainly battled tonight. And Alexander Ovechkin getting his 50th. We'll chat again. Well, I'll give you the finals, and then we'll go over the games. All three teams that need to win in the East that are battling for the wild card won. Good on them. Carolina 5-2 over Philadelphia. They did the surge for one last time. They said it's the last time they'll do the surge. They have one more home game after this. Anyway, they won 5-2 as well. The Montreal Canadiens, a big 3-1 win in Winnipeg over the Jets, and the Columbus Blue Jackets, a 5-2 win over Nashville. Also, finals, New York Islanders 5-1 over Buffalo. The St. Louis Blues 3-2 in overtime over the New Jersey Devils. Your old team, the Florida Panthers, 6-1 over the Boston Bruins in that game. So, first of all, where do you want to start? Ovi and Washington? Feel good story.
He's as hot as his room is right now. Holy cow! What did you set the temperature to?
I thought I turned it down a little bit. We're in a smaller booth here, and I think your law enforcement days that you got taken in a room and interrogated or something like that. So you seem a little nervous.
You're in a full tracksuit right now, not even breaking a sweat. I don't know how that happens.
I'm pretty active. It's called activewear. Eighth time, 50 goals. He's not slowing down. He's getting like a fine wine, getting better with age.
I hope you see him get to 800. That'd be pretty cool. Like, I never thought you'd see a player score like this in this era. And to see him doing it still at this age, I mean, he's got more grades than you. But am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
But, no, I mean, it's special. He's a great player. And that shot, it just shows you. I mean, you look at Patty Laine, I mean, he's going to score a lot of goals. And you look at Matthews, like, they got those releases. But can they do it like Ovi's done for the last however many years?
Yeah, no, and that game had some bite.
It's fun. They got to meet. They got to meet in playoffs.
Yeah, I hope
awesome.
They do. That'd be great again. You got Montreal and Winnipeg, and they won in Winnipeg, and Columbus wins in Nashville. I don't know what's more. Kokaniemi, by the way, healthy scratch. So
that's
certainly,
weird.
You know, Claude Julien not afraid to. He started with Carl Alsner snapping his streak and then sending him to the minors start of the year, but they both win in that case. What's more impressive right now, winning in Winnipeg or winning in Nashville?
Ooh, both barns, tough barns to
they
win.
They both in. Cooled off a little bit too.
Yeah,
both
Winnipeg
teams,
especially.
Bit.
Yeah, I don't know. They're both. You got the white out there, or the I don't know. That's a tough question. I think Nashville is pretty hard to win in. Their fans get really on you, and when you get scored on, they just abuse your goaltender. Like, that's tough. I mean. Mm-hmm. That'd be tough as an opposition goaltender.
The other thing with the Carolina Hurricanes, so it was a weird one. I get a little into the like Don Cherry's anti-surge. Do you like the surge or not?
I love it.
Yeah. Like it's a one-off, right?
I hope they do it next year.
Well, I tend to think
something
they
new, though. Something new. Yeah, you got to change it up.
Well, they had a weird one the other night against Washington. So Justin Williams tweeted that they'll do the surge for the last time tonight, win or lose.
Yeah.
So. It, first of all, you thought, well, why would you do it when you lose anyway? So they lost 3-2 to Washington. People were wondering if they're going to do it. They didn't do it. They had two home games left. So they win their home game today. And I was sort of kidding about it on Friday. I said, don't screw around with the surge. Like, what are you overthinking the surge about? Why would you tweet something like that out on behalf of the team? So anyway, that's fine if it's done today and they decided, okay, we're going to focus it and not do it. So they did it one more time. All's good.
And they finished it the way they started it. So that was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, they did. The third game of the season was their first win.
Yeah.
So they went to the classic, was kind of the Green Bay Leap type thing against the glass.
I feel like Williams would be like a great captain. Like, I've never met him, never played with him, but never really played with any guys that did play with him. But he looks like a class act and like would be a really fun captain.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's they made a few changes there, giving him the C, new coach, new general manager, new attitude there in Carolina. So it'll be, it'll come down, it looks like, more and more as we talk about these games the Leafs have. But imagine the final game of the regular season, Toronto at Montreal, and this arch rivalry riding on whether the Montreal Canadiens make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, if they were playing better, it'd be interesting with the Leafs too, but who knows? It's fun watching. That's what makes this time of year so much fun. You got teams that are just fighting so hard to get in the playoffs, and it makes the game so much better. And it's disappointing when you go cold for a little while, because these games, they're just so exciting.
Well, so exciting, and we will chat with Luke Fox. He was in Ottawa tonight. We'll play back all the goal calls, which is always fun to hear. Sean will have to pick our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf player of the game. And we'll also hear from John Tavares. Another strong effort by that game, even though it was in a losing cause. 4-2, the Ottawa Senators defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Sean Mathias on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.